The Morning Drive is proudly driven by NMI Motors, Toyota Menlyn, that is. Ready to experience the Toyota Menlyn difference? Or you can visit their showroom today at 125 Dallas Avenue, and that's in Waterkloof Glen, or contact them on 012-995-1700. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home in a new Toyota of your dreams with a full tank of petrol or diesel when you mention Impact Radio. T's and C's apply.
Follow us on our social media platforms at Impact 103.
So, jumping into the next hour of the show, you know what time it is. It's a time for us to jump into a time of prayer and our five confessions of the blood of redemption. And it's just gone 9 minutes after 7 a.m. So, so great to be with you this morning. And we're going to have a great, great week. Father's Day is on Sunday. And I don't know, I have to mention this every time I jump on this because it's the one day that we all forget. And Father's Day isn't about bashing fathers, please. It's about celebrating all of the dads. So I know I've just reminded some of you right now that today or this week end is Father's Day, because for the first time in a very, very long time, Father's Day is falling on the same day as Youth Day, which is incredible. And that was the word that went out yesterday in our church, and the title of the message was called Shape the Future. And we've got to understand that as human beings, as child of God, that we have a responsibility to raise up the next generation and shape it. And we cannot shape it apart from the principles of the Lord, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It says that we must train the child up in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. And this, our core scripture yesterday was Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, where Jesus says, Then the little children were brought to him, being Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And this is important for us to realize, because as parents, as people who are responsible for these little ones, we've got to bring them to Jesus. Jesus says, "Let the children come." That word "let" means we've got to create the environment. We've got to allow them. Don't prevent them. Make sure that there's a clear path for them to get to Jesus. And let's make sure that we're, first and foremost, not the obstacle that's keeping our children and the next generation from coming to the Lord. Because we all remember that one encounter that we had with God, and He literally, through the power of the blood of Jesus, placed His hand upon our lives, and that changed everything. So when we inhibit people, when we inhibit our children and the next generation from coming to Christ, we are forbidding them, right? So we got to make sure that there's nothing in their way to come to Jesus, and it is our responsibility to remove every obstacle within their lives. And we look just at a couple of concepts, and with the time that I have, I'll quickly jump through them, and then we're going to pray. And I've got a message here from a specific pastor, a prayer that was prayed in a church service yesterday, specifically for the government. Why? Because we've prayed, guys. We have prayed. We've prayed, and God has heard our prayers, and for peaceful elections. Just as the Impact body, we prayed for 40 days leading up to the upcoming elections. But let me tell you, the body of Christ throughout the entire country was really awoken to this plight to pray, and God did respond, but the work is not done as yet. Where we find ourselves right now in the government space, and the decisions that need to be made in terms of the coalition government and all the news that is going out, as we addressed last week, it's not our responsibility to join the fear mongers. As long as you and I are here, this country is going to be okay, people. We have the blood of Jesus. We've got the weapons that God has given us. And we really believe that this is an awesome place to raise our children. But that means we have a responsibility to shape the future. So we are not also naive to think that we can't, you know, today wake up into a civil war concerning the decisions that were made by the government. So we're not just praying and sitting in a corner and thinking, oh, we just hope for the best. No, the Bible says we watch and pray, right? But 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or intimidation or timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. The Amplified Version says, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. He's not called us as the church to be cowards, right? But we're not going to be fear-mongering. So I want to encourage you to stop talking about the government and the politics and this is how it's going to be and this is how it's going to work out and this is Eskom and this is that. No. Rather pray and do your work. Be faithful at what God has called you to do there. Don't steal your boss's time and talk politics when you should be working, right? Let's make sure that we are upright citizens in our nation and that we take the plight of God back to heaven. We've got to pray, right? And we're going to pray specifically today for our leaders, for the decisions that need to be made. And yeah, we're not fearful because we've seen this pan out. We've seen King Nebuchadnezzar's turn to the Lord. So it's even if we get an unrighteous government or wherever we are at, as long as you and I are here as the righteous, and this was Dr. Derek Prince's message this morning, he's doing a series on intercession this entire week. So I want to encourage you to listen to that. It is slightly earlier if you're not used to being up at that time. So 4:45 a.m. Jump on to Impact Radio and listen to what Dr. Derek Prince has to say, because it is critical. Particularly important that we pray, and God will spare a city even if it's got unrighteous rulers, as long as the righteous stand up and do their part in shaping the future. God will not destroy this land, which again, I go back to my point to say, as long as you and I are here, everyone that's here in the CMRs and we're applying the word of God, we've got enough people to spare this beautiful country that we also very love. This is why we don't fear. We're not fear mongers. We don't say, you know, what everyone else is saying and what the media says. No. We serve a big God. So quickly, let me go through those points that we looked at, and the concept, understanding the importance of raising the next generation and shaping the future. Number one, we've got to understand that we've got to remember. What should we remember? We should remember that every child is created by God, and children belong to God. As Psalm 139 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb, right? From the womb, God has created life, and life comes from him, right? It doesn't say that you slaughtered me in your mother's womb, right? This means that abortion, we're against it. Of course we're against it, because we understand that children belong to the Lord, and we've got to understand the sanctity of life and remember that all life comes from the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the complicated things, you know. I'm just talking about the 95% of abortions that are out of convenience. I'm not ready. I've got my whole life ahead of me. No. We cannot shape the next generation and shape the future if we are okay with aborting babies in the womb. And I'll say it, because these are things that we need to address as the Christian community, because sometimes we don't even know where we stand ourselves because we don't have a conviction. Even though the Constitution might say to you and allow you to destroy the life, but the Constitution at the end of the day is not the Bible. And these are serious things, because one day you're going to stand before the Lord, and there isn't going to be a political party that's going to back you and say, this is why you did what you did. And I'm not saying that things are difficult, are not difficult. Things are challenging. You might be under pressure where you are at, but it's in that time when you're under pressure that you've got to make the godly decision and make sure that we remember that life comes from the Lord. So even if you're not ready or whatever the circumstance might be, at least have the baby and give it up for someone else to look after. Don't kill the baby. Number one, we've got to remember that life comes from God. Number two, we've got to teach, right? So our children, in order for us to shape the future, we've got to teach them. We've got to, as the Bible says, do not provoke your children to wrath, Ephesians 6:4, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We've got to make sure that we teach from a place of genuine faith. What does genuine faith mean? It means I live what I preach, opposed to having a form of godliness but denying its power, where we look spiritual and we go to church on a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, we resemble more Satan than we do of God, right? So we've got to all repent of that. And when we teach our children, we teach from a place of This is what I do. Do what I do. And that brings me to the last point. We've got to be a model. When we are parents, when we are trying to shape the next generation, we've got to model what it looks like to serve the Lord, right? We've got to make sure that we are first and foremost living right. It's very difficult to say to your children, don't smoke while you're puffing a cigarette, right? Or to say alcohol is bad for you while you have a beer in your hand. We've got to lead by a model, lead by example, because the truth is our children are not unwise. They're not foolish, right? They can see right through us. So we can say in front of people, we love Jesus. We serve him with everything that we have. But then at home, we're something completely different. So we've got to teach, but you become a great teacher and your words carry authority in your child's life when you practice what you preach. So you go to church not to bring the kids to church. No, you go to church because you need Jesus. And when that happens, you cultivate a hunger and a desire in your home that your children will also want to come to church, not because they feel like they're being dropped off at aftercare, but they feel like, wow, mommy and daddy, they also in this atmosphere and are seeing the change within their lives. And look, I'm not saying that if you've made mistakes, there isn't grace. No, there is grace. Even if you've gone to that degree where you have had an abortion, I want to encourage you. The blood of Jesus is sufficient and his grace is sufficient for you. But let's not normalize sin. Let's make sure that we come back to God and we repent. As the Bible says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So let's pray first and foremost, and we're going to apply the blood of Jesus over our lives, and then we're going to go through to this prayer specifically for our nations. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today and I bring towards you my brothers and sisters, Lord, those that are going through challenging circumstances, and every parent, Lord. We know that parenting is not easy, but today, Lord, we choose to remember that all children come from you. And Lord, if these are your children, I know that you will give each and every parent the wisdom to lead these children in integrity, in love, in the way that they should go, so that when they're older, they will not depart from it. Father, I pray for a spirit of grace and mercy to flood over every person that has made wrong decisions, Lord, where we haven't respected the sanctity of life. And today we choose to put the Bible and your word all above every other thing, O God. We are not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to save. Help us, Lord, as parents to be good examples to our children that they can pattern their lives after us as we have a deep desire to serve you. And through the blood of Jesus, all our sins have been forgiven. All our unrighteousness has been removed, Lord. We are redeemed. We are cleansed right now. The blood of Jesus changes us from the inside out, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And Father, through your blood, you see us as justified and you see us as sanctified, set apart for your holy purpose. And we will shape the future of South Africa. As long as we are here, this country will be great. And won't you join me as we allow a pastor to pray for us specifically for the nation and the times that we find ourselves in. Much prayer, much power.
Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of hope, hearts full of faith, Lord. And we seek divine intervention, Lord, as our leaders are busy negotiating for our business and the government and the unity in Africa. And we acknowledge your sovereignty, Lord. We acknowledge your sovereignty and your wisdom over all nations and over all leaders. That's what your word says. Lord, we prayed for the elections. You answered our prayers. And once again, we seek your face, Lord, for guidance. We seek your face, Lord, that you'll give wisdom on the leaders as they navigate the complexities, Lord, of governance. Grant them the humility to set aside personal ambitions and partisan interests for the greater good of our nation. We pray for a spirit of unity. We pray for a spirit, Lord, of collaboration, respect, recognizing the value that everyone can contribute so that we might be unified, Lord. Lord, I pray instill a deep sense of justice, of compassion, of integrity, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they will serve the heart of our people. Lord, that they'll serve, especially the marginalized, especially the vulnerable. I pray, Lord, work in their hearts that they'll listen to one another, seeking common ground to work together to promote peace, stability, shared prosperity. We pray for the people of South Africa, Lord, even in ourselves, that we will be patient, knowing that you're in control, and that we'll support and encourage our leaders as they are busy negotiating in their endeavors. Lord, I pray, unite us in purpose and resolve that we'll walk together in the future of this nation, harmony, equality, opportunity for everybody. Lord, our nation is in your hands. Our government is in your hands. And as a people, we say, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. You do the work. And the outcomes, Lord, will be according to your Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. If you believe that, shout amen and amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Moving you forward in your faith. Impact 103.